This is a HeadGum Original.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
War is a universal language. I know a renegade soldier when I see one. Never occurred to me that one might come from above. Space invasion. Big car chase. Truth be told, I was ready to hang it up till I met you today. So you're not from around here?
It's hard to explain. I keep having these memories. I see flashes. I think I had a life here. But I can't tell if it's real.
We have no idea what threats are out there. We can't do this alone. We need you.
I'm not what you think I am.
Newcomers. I'm Nicole Byer.
And I'm Lauren Lapkus, and this is the 16th episode of the season. Oh my god, we've really been doing this.
Flying.
We are working our way through the Marvel Cinematic Universe with the help of fellow newcomers, super fans, and sometimes even people who have contributed.
So, yeah, this season's only going to be 20 episodes. We're going to cover as much as we can. We're not going to get to everything. And today, wow, oh wow, we are covering Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, and it's available on Disney Plus. You can also watch it for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu. And obviously, we're going to spoil the whole film, so deal with that. And Nicole, just before we bring our guests out, what do you think of this movie?
This movie, Lauren, was tough. It like reminded me of Star Wars in the worst way possible.
Wow, wow.
I didn't really like. There wasn't much like of a girl power anthem until she stole shit from the motorcycle and then
I'm just a girl.
And
in
I have to say, I saw this in theaters randomly because it was a very random situation. I might have even mentioned before, but I thought I got excited at that part. But I think I had been like, you know, sitting there for 2 hours going like, what am I watching? And then they played a song I like and I was like, yay. And then this time I was like, this movie, I can't even follow for the. I don't know how I watched it before. I don't know what I thought was happening. I mean, it's true. And these alien people, oh God,
that ended up being family, good. And then a wild cat that was an octopus.
The cat,
and
I
then
can't.
The Tesseract. I was like, wait, isn't what? So
why
I guess
is the
Captain
Tesseract
Marvel
always there.
It takes place before. Guardi? No, I don't fucking
know. Oh God.
Well, the Juice Man was there, and he wanted the Tesseract. And then
Those
and then it was the
90s.
People.
Yeah, it was the I was so confused. And then those aliens look like watermelon, but like
they did
with Thanos's bald chin, and that was confusing to me. And I just
I think we should bring out our guests because I feel like
we should.
I would love to hear what they would think of this. Let's just do it. So we are so excited about our guests today. We have two guests. We have Emily Gonzalez and Sammy Smart. And Emily, okay, I'll just introduce you and then I'm going to say something. But Emily Gonzalez is an actor and designer, and Sammy Smart is a documentary film editor. And together they host a show now on HeadGum called Too Scary, Didn't Watch, where they watch and don't watch, respectively, horror movies and discuss them. So welcome to the show. We're so excited you guys are here.
Thank you for coming.
God, thank you guys so much for having us.
I wanted to say that I was asking Paul F. Tompkins for a podcast recommendation, and he talked at length about your show and said it's so great.
We love Paul. So, we love Paul for doing that, for spreading the good word of our show.
Yes. And I love that you have a show where you don't have to watch the movie.
Me too.
Yeah, that's nice because people get mad at us when we say we didn't pay attention. Can I read you a tweet this man tweeted today?
Yeah.
Please.
Please.
Ryan said, "This is where I tap out. You can only listen to someone go, 'Hey, I didn't pay attention. Here's my opinion,' so many times."
Tap out, Ryan, and thank you for playing.
Yeah.
What can we do? We can't please everyone. It is the fun of the podcast that we don't catch every little detail, and I don't know what to tell you. Some people, you know what I will say? Most people think it's fun.
Most people.
That's the best you can do.
Ryan.
Yeah.
That is the absolute best you can do. Every now and again, we get reviews too. They're like, "You're not detailed enough," or "You don't, this isn't really a thorough detail.
And it's like, yeah, watch the movie yourself if that's what you want to do.
I also disagree that you guys aren't paying attention. You're paying very close attention. And you're like, you're watching them for the first time. You can't be expected to have memorized the script.
Right.
The
oh my God. Like, thank you so much.
Thank you. Like, everyone's lucky I remembered what a Tesseract was.
We reference this shit and we catch callbacks. I mean, like, we are paying attention. Like, you have to, we will just admit when we didn't catch something or we were looking at our phone for 5 seconds, which God save us, we have to do.
Yeah, okay. I mean, during this one, oh man, this was tough. Emily, Sammy, how familiar are you guys with the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I would say I am less familiar than Sammy. I'm as familiar as anyone who is alive is, which is to say that it is all over the place. I've seen some, but I'm not as good at the all of them together movies. Mm-hmm. And I did at one point early in the pandemic, on a night where I was bored and felt like I just wanted to like let a movie happen to me. I think I picked the Avengers Infinity War, one of the later ones. Got 15 minutes in and I had absolutely no, I was like, surely the filmmakers will help me out.
No.
And they don't. And so
no.
I find it a little overwhelming.
It's a lot to jump into, like, without the context. Because even with the context, we're going, what? Like, this one, I will say, Captain Marvel, 20 minutes in, there's 40,000 things that have happened.
Yeah, a lot of things happened. And then I was like, she got stolen. She's got memories. Who? Annette Bening? Why are you being so creepy?
Yeah, I know. Okay, wait. Sammy, how about you? Do you have any experience with this franchise?
I'm a little bit more into it. I still feel like I'm also reaching a bit of a like maximum capacity. It just like keeps growing and it feels like there's more and more things I need to remember. And it is getting overwhelming even for me who normally really enjoys it. I, for some reason, started at Iron Man 3. That's where I hopped in. And I've seen most of them since then. And I also really enjoy the series. I'm big on the series. Loved WandaVision. Loved Loki.
Okay.
What about Hawkeye?
Hawkeye, you know, I even found something to enjoy in Hawkeye.
Was it Jeremy Renner?
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite, but I still had some fun.
And Sammy, on the podcast, you explained the movie that you watch a movie.
Yeah.
A scary movie. And Emily, is it simply that you are too scared to watch the movie? And yes. So you're just afraid of horror films.
Yes. And but I would like to not be. So it's I am trying. I use the podcast as my way to dip my toe in. And I've started watching some. I've been doing it for about 3 years. And I've started watching some scary movies. Because I'm very curious about them. I watched A Quiet Place and I found that to be very scary, very tense.
It was very tense.
And saw Conjuring 3 in theaters with Betsy.
We did, but it was not very scary, I thought, which is kind of a bummer.
But I feel like Conjuring is, in general, a pretty scary. I mean, it was brave of you to even go into that.
I think it's
a
pretty scary franchise.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the one with like the nun with like black eyes or something horrible?
She's part of that world, yeah. Yeah, yep. That's also a universe. There's a whole Conjuring
universe. Oh, we could do that universe.
We could. There's a lot of movies.
I'm too scared, honestly. I think I'm too scared.
Should we get into the Daily Bugle?
Yes, we should. This is our news segment this season where we give a recap of what's going on in the MCU. So an animatronic... There's a really goofy picture. An animatronic Spider-Man at Disney California Adventure Avengers Campus malfunctioned and crashed into a building.
That's
really
funny.
You can watch
really
it
funny.
On Instagram. So it's a 15-second clip of this gigantic Spider-Man flying backwards off this building. We're going to watch it.
Oh, my God.
Imagine being a child and being like, ooh, Spider-Man.
Oh, my God. It looks like he's doing it on purpose.
Oh, no.
Oh, the stunt robot crashed for you. So I guess he was supposed to do some of it.
Wow, yeah, I think in the show, like, there's an actor playing Spider-Man who does, like, some flips, and then this robot, like, seamlessly transitions, so it looks like he's doing this crazy thing, but then,
and then
the robot crashed into a building.
Wow. That's honestly my favorite thing I've seen in a very long time.
I loved it.
He flops so hard.
Yeah, it's, like, really lifeless.
Oh, boy.
Someone was traumatized for sure.
Probably. It's like, oh, my God, I love Spider-Man's dead now.
Yeah. Because he literally saw him flipping purposefully moments before.
Okay, another piece of the Daily Bugle is we now know two new members of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 cast. Daniela,
Melchior.
Ooh, that's good. And Maria?
Bakalova.
Yes, teamwork. Oh, neither actress's roles have been disclosed.
Oh, that's the girl from
Borat. Borat's daughter, yeah.
Oh my God, she's
so good.
Oh,
she's
great.
She's so good.
Oh my God, she's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy? That's
cool.
Wow. That's great.
One more thing is that Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness will stream on Disney Plus on June 22nd, a little earlier than expected. So everyone, hold your horses and get excited.
Hold your little horses. It's coming this month.
I saw it, was disappointed.
Have either of you seen it?
I saw it, yes.
Same did.
It wasn't my favorite, but I liked it just because of the Sam Raimi-ness of it. Like, because I like horror a lot, I feel like so much of his little stamp was put on it. It's just so crazy.
Oh, yeah. Nicole, you said it was really scary.
I thought it was pretty scary and like pretty gruesome. Also, mm-hmm. I did miss the first 15 minutes of it. You better believe I was so late. So I was pretty confused.
It's confusing. I mean, they're just getting to this point where you're like, how the fuck am I supposed to remember everything that's happened leading
up to this
point?
They expect
you
to have done your homework, I feel like.
Yeah,
every
this
movie
one
started.
You actually really need to know a ton of stuff for it.
Yeah, I was confused as well.
But I don't understand where the little girl came from. But that must have happened in the first 15 minutes.
Probably.
But it starts with her in it, right? Like in the very first scene, she's like immediately there.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there's not much explanation, but you've already gotten used to her.
I guess you get a bit of explanation, but yeah, it is just, it's a lot.
It takes 15 minutes to no longer care that you don't know where
she's from. Yeah. That's pretty much how this works, I would say. We just keep watching and then go. I guess I'll figure this out.
Yeah,
at some point.
I'll figure it out
sometimes
later.
Sometimes I go,
questions.
I don't understand, and the podcast will explain it. Like when mm-hmm. I am talking, it will make sense.
There you mm-hmm. go.
Something I like to tell people a lot is that what people I think that engage with comic book stories only in TV and film don't realize is that comic books have footnotes. And so like if a character shows up or like a scene, there'll be a little asterisk and then a little box that's like, oh, this happened in Invincible Iron Man issue.
Well, did the filmmakers not read the footnotes?
Yeah, so you flip through. through, and then you go, oh, okay, cool. And then you don't have to worry about it. You're like, okay, I believe you. Sure, that happened in something I didn't read. And maybe you'll go and buy that issue if you are super interested.
I would love if Marvel movies would put in a black screen like silent films and just like a little bit like this person is this and here's what their deal and then like go back away and back
that
into
would
the
be
movie.
So nice.
But then that would make the movies 5 hours long.
That's true.
Because they'd have to explain every moment.
I don't have time.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then we're going to jump into Captain Marvel.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back.
We're back. Okay, so it was written by, I'm not good at names, and I've been accused on Twitter of not being able to read, and it hurt my feelings.
Do you want me to say it? Yeah. It was written
by
Anna Boden, Ryan Fleck, and Geneva Robertson Dworet, which I'm not sure I said properly.
I think you did. As you said all the names, I was like, pretty easy. I could have taken a swing.
It was directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, and it was released on International Women's Day, March 8th, 2019. Oh, wow. That is, that's extra thought. You know, and that kind of stuff means something to me as a woman.
I actually love it now.
Yeah, this is how I celebrated that year, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, I'm going to go watch a superhero kick some ass. So let's jump into our story here. In 1995, Vers, Brie Larson, a soldier for the Kree Empire who has no memory of her past or how she obtained her powers.
Real quick. So she's not blue like the other Kree people, and neither is, what's his name?
Jude Law.
Jude Law.
What was his
name? And nobody.
Yon-Rogg.
Yon-Rogg.
And nobody explains that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like.
Why isn't Jude Law blue?
Like, I was like, oh, she's actually a human.
Yeah.
Annette Bening's also not.
I was going to say that spoiler, but she's not blue.
They bleed blue.
Right. She bleeds blue.
Oh.
Maybe that's something. I did like that, and I was like, that'd be kind of cool.
Why do some bleed blue and some are blue?
That I do not know.
I don't know.
Leah?
We'll just see what happens.
Is that nice?
I'm Googling, why are some Kree white, which feels awesome.
Feels like you can't ask that. Yeah. Why are some Kree white?
I think the answer is that it's just, like, environmental factors. Sure.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Great. Okay.
Someone's gonna yell at me.
The environmental factors are they're white. A soldier for the Kree Empire. So she has no memory of her past or how she obtained her powers. Wakes up from a nightmare on the planet Hala. She trains Yon-Rogg, Jude Law, a Kree Empire commander and leader of Star Force. Yon-Rogg believes that Vers is ready to join Star Force, and Vers goes to meet with the Supreme Intelligence, the artificial intelligence in charge of the Kree Empire, who appears to her in the form of a woman she does not remember, played by Annette Bening.
The Supreme Intelligence approves her for a Star Force mission with a team that includes, Min-Ura, Gemma Chan, and Korath. Digimon Hansu, I think I said his name right, previously in Guardians of the Galaxy. Their mission is to rescue a Kree operative named Sarlar on the planet Tofla, which is inhabited by the Kree mortal enemy, shapeshifters called, what are they, Skrulls?
Skrulls,
yes.
Which I hated, and I just...
I didn't like it either. All of this felt so Star Wars-y.
It was so Star Wars-y. And all the aliens fighting, I was just like,
I was like,
God.
Get me out of here.
And some of their conversations were so earnest while they were aliens. And I was like, that's embarrassing. There's just something rough about that. Verz is abducted by Skrull General Talos, Ben Mendelsohn, while the rest of the Star Force retreat. On the spacecraft, Talos gains access to Verz's memories from various points in her life that she does not remember. We got to talk about that. Growing up in small town America as a tomboy and enlisting in the U.S. Air Force. Again, how is she not a person? Like,
But I think she is a person.
She is.
And then that blast made her not a person.
Okay. So Verz awakens and Talos explains that he wants information from her pertaining to a light speed engine. She escapes and lands on planet C-53, aka Earth. But can I just say, her memories, was this when she was like, karaoke? Like she was like doing a couple of things.
Yes.
I just was thinking about filming those because it was like, that probably took a long time. Like she had to do a lot. She's like the one where she's trying to climb the rope and she falls down, but it takes a long time. But then it's like 2 seconds of like a memory.
And then there's the one where she like crashes the go-kart and the man's like, you suck at driving.
You shouldn't be out there.
I was like, who is he? What is this? It's so mean.
I know. I thought he was like her dad or something.
Oh, maybe it was her dad.
I feel like it is. Yeah.
Leah says, the Kree gave her a blood transfusion. So that's why her blood is blue, but she is human. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. That great.
Makes sense. Okay.
But then her body would continue to regenerate Kree blood. Sorry. I'm breaking down the logistics.
It should be purple.
It would be purple. Wow. We need to write a letter to Mr. Marvel. That definitely should be purple.
Marvel.
Yeah, didn't Mr. Marvel.
Her blood reminded me of Gushers.
It reminded me of Gushers too.
Yum.
Yeah. Or that plastic bottle that you squeeze with the twisty top.
Yes.
Yeah, that was always really good. I'm sure that was the nastiest stuff ever, actually. Yeah.
So Verz crashes through the roof of a Blockbuster Video in the middle of a shopping plaza in LA. She meets young S.H.I.E.L.D. agents Nick Fury and Phil Coulson. What they did to Nick Fury in CG was very strange. I couldn't believe that they put his hairline so far forward. Anyway, before the Skrulls catch up to her, and later in a chase through Los Angeles, one of the Skrulls impersonates Coulson and hitches a ride with Fury and is killed after Fury discovers his true identity. I clocked that. I was like, that's not him.
Oh, really?
Impressive.
Yeah, because he was being weird.
I always like that kind of thing, though, where like, because I didn't catch that, even though I've seen it before. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I always love that kind of surprise where it's like, you think everything's like this, but really, it's been this the whole time. I also felt like the Blockbuster, like, okay, I like nostalgic things, but I also felt like that was the most obvious choice you could have made to show that it was the 90s. Like, we don't have these.
There's way too much 90s. Like, remember we're in the 90s? Like, it's... That's like it was very
so
obnoxious
long
to
ago
me.
That we
totally.
I love 90s stuff.
I'm a 90s kid, but it's like stop. Like I remember, I know where
I know,
we are.
But I felt like they put those posters all over the Blockbuster that were like just pasted up, brand new, Smashing Pumpkins, REM, like Rock the Vote. They were like the most untouched,
printed.
Yes, they were like so glossy and just like taped on top of each other. I was like, okay, we get it.
Here's something funny. I didn't realize it was the 90s. Till we read it was 1995. I thought it was like the 70s.
Oh my God. I love that.
I felt like this is a nondescript 70s.
Well, they didn't really. I felt that the costumes of like all the background artists were not made very 90s. Like there was like not, you could have gone full force with some trends mixed in there. Cause I feel like I didn't see any trends. And I was like, you kind of forget that it's the 90s really fast.
You just get her Nine Inch Nails shirt and her flannel. She has to take off and put away.
How did she even know to tie it around her waist like that?
Because if you're a gal, you're born with a cool gene.
That's true. And then he was like, put this cap on. You look like you're... And I was like, that's not really making her not look like that. But then she like placed it over her wig, like really like flatly.
Oh, that
like,
wig. Just, like, oh my God, the wig. Can you imagine trying to fight with someone and like get her hair covered half her
well,
face?
Well, I know. Put mm-hmm. it behind down your the ear. Whole time. I know. If you're kicking ass.
If you're kicking ass, you can't see out of one eye. Why
I don't
would
know.
You handicap
I like
yourself
the
in that
soft
way?
Beach waves.
Well, it was pretty. It was pretty.
Beautiful. Impractical.
It was impractical.
It didn't move at all. Yeah.
No. But I gotta say, if that was a wig, which I'm not quite sure if it was.
You're it's not? One of the,
I'm not sure. I think it might actually be her hair or a fall where just her hair is out in the front. It is one of the best wigs, if it's a full wig, in the Marvel franchise.
That is true.
Yeah, they got
but
some
I
bad
felt
ones.
Like it was because it was so, it stayed so still.
I feel it like did maybe stay sometimes still. It was a wig and sometimes it was her hair. Like maybe for some, yeah. like some, at some point in filming, the wig came into play.
Because yeah. her friend Maria had one of the worst wigs I've
she
ever
did?
Seen. Someone did her dirty. I could not believe this weird bowl cut on this poor black woman.
But it was supposed said, to be who? Like, do you think that who was supposed to be like 90s her? Or something?
Nah, 90s
only?
Would be more of a pixie.
Yeah. It was very,
think Destiny's Child. They all had great pixies thick. At a point in the 90s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Except Beyonce.
And Annette Bening, she had a pretty decent wig, although it wasn't ventilated properly, but it was nice.
What does that mean?
It means you can see the part. So oh, it looks okay, natural, yeah. so you can see some scalp in there.
Yeah, because I'm actually looking at it now, and it's like actively not showing the part.
Yeah, it's just hair. Hair.
Oh, my God. Okay, so she's on Earth. Okay, here we go. Meanwhile, Vers researches one of her lost memories and takes a stolen motorcycle to a bar outside of town. Nick Fury meets her there after witnessing his first ever alien autopsy, and the two agree to work together. They next travel to a facility in Nevada and pull files that confirm that she is a missing fighter pilot who worked alongside Maria Rambeau, Lashana Lynch, and Dr. Wendy Lawson, Annette Bening. And they also meet Goose, a cat who seems to know Verse. Now, Goose felt very Guardians to me.
Yes, very that.
Yeah.
Also, Nick Fury really takes this alien autopsy well. Gotta say, nobody freaked. He didn't even freak out when there was a dead alien next to him. He was like, better cover him up. It was wild.
Yeah. Do you think he's just seen so much?
I guess. But I feel like he hasn't because he just started. Right.
What did you think of the part where they are the alien autopsy? It's like on the it's on like the bed or whatever they put it on. And then they look at his dick.
You yeah. know what? I felt that was a little invasive. You know, he's dead. I think we're all curious, but like, he dead.
They wouldn't
they
do it together. You know, you would do that when no one is in there.
Yeah.
We all would, but you wouldn't true. Share it with a coworker. I don't
It might have been funnier if the other guy left and then he went, huh, and just kind of peeked in.
But also, if we're going to be that invasive, let me know what's up. What's
show
that
it.
Alien working with?
Show it.
Yeah, show us.
Let's it could be it. Anything. Like, it could be like a maple leaf. Like, it could just be like something really weird.
It could be a maple leaf. It could be a fish. Okay, so when Coulson, fish. Oh, wait, in the trivia in this episode, Sam Jackson, oh, he improvised that.
Okay. What I like that.
What a king. I love it.
Now I love it.
Sometimes improv's not always friendly. Okay, when Coulson and the other Shield agent show up, Fury realizes their boss, Keller, also played by Ben Mendelsohn, has been compromised and is being impersonated by a Skrull. Fury and Verse hijack a quad jet to go to the Rambeau residence in New Orleans. Maria and her daughter, Monica, reveal Verse's original name, Carol Danvers. What? A boring name.
I know when she's like, my name Carol. Is Carol. I was like,
it's so funny because it's like a Matrix-y reference. Like, my name is Neo, but oh. Carol's like the least badass
Carol.
Name ever. Because
yeah.
also that fight between her and Jude Law in the beginning is kind of like Morpheus and Neo-y. I was getting some Matrix-y
oh,
vibes.
Oh, you're
in this.
Right.
And apparently,
okay, I've never seen that.
Apparently, Keanu
You've
Reeves.
Never seen the Matrix?
Oh my God,
it's pretty good. I like
oh,
it.
Oh, it's really
yeah. favorite. Okay, movie. Okay. But apparently Keanu Reeves oh. was supposed to be cast in Jude Law's part in this, which
I would have oh, liked it.
Me too.
That would have been good.
I wonder why he said no.
I feel like he's got to get in this franchise at some point. It's like
2019.
It's time.
Was he doing a, he was probably doing a wick.
Probably doing a wick.
Oh.
Which I did see and I liked the first one.
I liked the first one as
love
well.
Them. Then you'll like The Matrix, I think.
Okay, I'll watch it eventually. So Talos and Norex arrive at the Rambeau residence and negotiate an alliance. Talos reveals that Carol's memories were tampered with by the Kree, that the Skulls are refugees on the run from Kree oppression, and that Wendy Lawson, whose Kree name is Mar-Vell, was a double agent and developing the Lightspeed engine to help the Skrulls outrun the Kree. Carol's memories start to come back, and she remembers it was Yon-Rogg who assassinated Mar-Vell. I feel crazy saying Mar-Vell. She also remembers gaining her cosmic powers from the Lightspeed engine's energy core.
Gotta say, all of this happened so quickly that I was like, oh, okay, we're just going to take these watermelons word for it. Like, what? We thought they were bad. Now the watermelon's good.
I know.
Yeah. And then when Yon-Rogg, when he shot Mar-Vell, I was like, why didn't he just shoot Carol too? Like, he had an open shot. He could have been like, pew, pew. Instead, he was like, pew. And then he was like, hello. And then she was like, ah. And then she was like, this energy core, ba-bow. I was like, you shouldn't have given her the time.
Did we already talk about the part, or does this already cover the part where Carol, like, fights that old woman, quote unquote, on the train?
Oh, yeah. That's much earlier. And that was fun.
Can
that
we just talk about
that?
The
only fun I had.
That was really, I thought that was very fun. And I was like, who's in that costume? She basically is on the train and she's like, someone here is bad. And she's trying to figure out who. And then she just punches an old lady in the face. And that person
because she passed
bad.
The old lady before. So she was like, oh, since I passed her, that must be one of the Skrulls. But my favorite part was all the other people on the train being like, we got to help this old lady. And I'm like, you just saw that old lady do a kickflip. She doesn't need help.
Yeah, she's like bouncing off the walls.
I know. And also the part where Carol gets off, I just call her Carol from now on, where she gets off the train and everyone's like looking at her like, huh? Like, I didn't think her outfit was that weird. And everyone's looking at her like, what's up with her? I thought her outfit was kind of normal. Like, it wouldn't shock me if I saw that person on a train.
No.
I'd go, oh, she's going to work at a birthday party.
You. You work at a birthday party.
Off to her job.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't look at her weird. I mean, if she looked like Thanos, then I'd be like, that's a cause for concern. That
for
man's
sure.
big.
Mm-hmm. And purple.
And has a weird chin.
His chin looks like
in a sparkly glove.
One thing I really didn't like, why did her helmet have a mohawk?
Oh, the like underwater, or I guess in space too.
Not everyone did have a mohawk, but she did, and I just was confused.
I think
by
it's
it.
A signature Captain Marvel thing in the comics.
I just googled this,
and I'm also not a fan of it. I'm not fond of it.
In the cartoon version or the drawn version, it looks like her hair coming through.
I think that would make more sense, but it was so, I mean, her hair is much longer than that.
I think that's what it's supposed to be, though, even in this, because when she like undoes it, her hair like flutters down. I guess it would, even if it was just a, I don't know, the helmet. But.
Right. That actually is probably the accurate for the length of her hair for real, but the cartoon version looks longer, like it flows behind like a sort of unicorn like mane. Mm. It's sort
interesting.
Of
interesting. I feel like she should have had short hair. I'm looking at pictures and she seems to have short hair.
I think she does have some short hair at some point, maybe in the next movie.
Maybe when she returns in Endgame, she'll have short
hair.
Maybe.
Okay, wait, I just googled this and maybe this is going to be in our trivia or something, but like it says the mohawk costume is the result of a comic creator's bet. So basically, the writer Kelly Sue DeConnick made a bet with the artist Jamie McKelvey. And when Carol Danvers became Captain Marvel in the comics, it wasn't her first time as a superhero. She'd already been saving the world for years under different names, but mostly Miss Marvel. And her Miss Marvel outfit was a swimsuit, thigh-high boots, and a sash, which that sounds pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean,
she looks
that.
Like Pamela Anderson on this cover, which that's pretty good. But then, yeah, so they made a bet, basically. So the editor sent some designs that were done in-house. I did not love them. And I was like, can we get Jamie McKelvey to do this? And he was like, no, we don't have the budget. And they ended up doing it. And I could read a 12-page article about this because it keeps going and going.
I don't think you should.
And I'm not going to. And then that's what happened. But yeah, so it was a bet.
All right.
Well, now we know.
I like the mohawk. I'm into it.
All right. I think it's okay. I think it looks better in the drawing. It's a little spiky. So Yon-Rogg arrives on Earth to confront Carol, who's actually Norex. Meanwhile, Carol, Nick Fury, Talos, Maria, and Goose take the quad jet to Mar-Vell's laboratory orbiting Earth, where Talos is reunited with his wife and daughter And we learn that the energy cord that gave Carol her powers is actually the Tesseract.
Okay, this was so wild. I was like, okay, so we find out double agents, whatever. They're not actually bad. And then we find out that the rest of these people are just floating in space. Da fuck?
And then that conversation with, like, the family, like, when he's, like, with his wife and daughter, and then she's, like, all scared of Carol, and then he's like, she's a friend. He was, like, in her, he was, like, in her ear, like, babe. It's okay. She's a friend. I was like, don't they have another language he could be like? Like, it just felt so crazy that he was just like speaking English. Going,
everyone spoke English
good.
In this
she's
movie.
She's good. She's good.
That's Ben Mendelsohn. And I love that they also just let him have his Australian accent. Like, that there's inconsistent accents throughout the scrolls. Like, they're just like, yeah, just do Australian. Right. That's fine. Whatever.
Oh my God. That's so funny. It didn't even register with me.
It didn't register either, but that is funny. So Star Force ambush them and place Carol under, I don't know, stasis to confront the Supreme Intelligence. Danvers removes an inhibitor. Inhibitor that has been limiting her full power potential and engages in an all-out battle with Star Force. Goose, who's actually a Flurkin, swallows the Tesseract and several Kree soldiers.
Yeah, the Flurkin thing I thought was
wild.
It was crazy. It was kind of fun. Like, that was like, but it felt kind of like silly in like a Guardians way.
But it was so weird because the rest of the movie wasn't silly.
No.
So
there was
so
basically
out of place.
No humor in this movie, I would say.
Yeah, I did not not one time.
There was like the part where Carol comes up, like when she just lands in the Blockbuster and then she walks up to like the car and she's like, is my translator working? You know, she's like, it felt kind of like a Buzz Lightyear sort of moment where like she thinks she's like doing something and everyone else is like, what? Like, that was
almost literally Buzz Lightyear, because Buzz Lightyear, I think, is from Star Force.
Is he the same? Is it the same thing?
I think it's Star Force Command. Do you hear me?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. And Chris Evans about to be in Lightyear.
Yep.
Which I also just read was banned in multiple countries because it has a gay kiss.
Oh my no, God. Let the gays kiss. Who cares?
Who gives a shit?
Also, it's
crazy.
It's animated. It's like,
yeah, I know,
it's
not, you can't watch a two cartoon characters.
Somebody literally drew it. I
it's so fake.
Yeah, it's fully fake.
No lips touched. Nobody's lips touched anybody's lips.
It's
actually
in a movie about a toy, but the guy based on the toy or vice versa. Yeah, really weird. Okay, so Yon-Rogg authorizes Ronan the Accuser, Lee Pace, reprising his Guardians of the Galaxy role, to dispatch Kree ballistic missiles at Earth. And Danvers easily destroys the missiles and one of the Kree warships. And Minerva, the last operable Star Force member, intercepts the quad jet to the Mojave Desert. There's a lot going on. But Maria Rambo shoots her down. Yon-Rogg arrives on Earth and challenges Danvers to a duel, which she wins, and she sends him back to Hala with the warning.
I did enjoy when he was like, prove yourself. And she was like, no. That was funny for me. So in the aftermath, Goose claws and blinds Fury's left eye, which I guess that's why he's going to wear a patch later. The Skrulls take temporary shelter at the Rambo residence and Carol vows to help them find a home. But before going, she hands Fury a modified pager that he can use to call her in the event of an emergency, which is what he does in the last movie in fucking Infinity War.
Okay, I actually really like that connection.
Yeah. While drafting a proposal for the Protector Initiative for S.H.I.E.L.D., Fury notices that Carol's call sign was Avenger in the Air Force and renames it the Avengers Initiative.
But you don't even see him type it. You just see him delete Protector, yes. And then he smiles as he types the new thing. And I was like, he typed Avenger. And then I was like, wait, didn't he have like an eye injury earlier, but then his eye was fine? And I was like, okay, so it's like a fake out for the eye patch. And then it's like a real thing.
Yeah, he was picking out eyeballs. It was pretty serious.
That part was pretty crazy. And then with the pager, this is really a fun thing that you just put together. So we watched that movie, which came out way...
Mm-hmm.
No, it came out earlier. Why did I think it came out later? No, but then I don't like it as much. Oh, so we
don't know what the pager is in Infinity War. Now we know what the pager is. But they should have made Captain Marvel first. So then that would be a huge payoff.
I would have liked it way more if I knew what the pager was from watching this movie, if I was a fan that had already seen them. That's weird. And it's funny because I have seen that one. You know, that's what the Reddit's saying right now. She actually did watch this one already. What does she mean? She's like, well, I didn't remember because I didn't know what was going on. In a mid-credit scene set in 2018 after the events of Avengers Infinity War, Steve Rogers, Natasha Romanoff, Bruce Banner, and James Rhodes analyze Fury's pager at the Avengers compound. Carol suddenly appears and demands to know where he is.
In a post-credit scene, Goose coughs up the Tesseract on Nick Fury's desk, I guess which lets the Tesseract loose for Thor. I think that's where we first see the Tesseract.
I went through it. So... no. So the first place we saw it was with Captain America. Red Skull had it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it fell into the ice. Howard Stark had it. Oh. So he Howard Stark formed S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wait, how did Red Skull get the Tesseract?
He got it in Germany, or no, not Germany, Norway, at the beginning of the first Captain America movie.
Yeah, but how did it get from Nick Fury's desk to Germany or Norway?
Captain America
that was the 40s,
is before, yeah.
So that happened before.
Did it just like come from space?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yes. Okay. Jesus Christ, this is hard.
Yeah.
It's really complicated.
Yep. So, and it was there, and it was being... developed by S.H.I.E.L.D. by something, I just looked this up, it's why I sound crazy, by Project Pegasus, which they've referenced in a couple other movies, just like offhand. And that's what Annette Bening joined because she was looking for the Tesseract because she'd heard of it. She had it in that lab. Then Nick Fury has it back. So then at the beginning of Avengers, that's how he's just had it ever since.
Mm, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. We've been talking about the Tesseract.
And then Thor got it for after
months now at this point.
Yeah, we really have.
I liked when the cat coughed it up.
I didn't mind it.
You know, liked. It's, you know, relative.
I don't like when animals puke. They make that awful noise.
It's bad.
I know, it was really reminding me of my now deceased cat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To bring it down. It's totally fine. She had a great life.
Oh, Lord.
I can't mention her without saying she's dead. I guess I'm still processing.
Well, animals are very important to people. I don't know what I would do if something happened to Clyde.
I know. It's too sad to think about, honestly.
Anyway, Captain Marvel was not nominated for any major awards, but it did win an MTV Movie Award for Best Fight Scene for Brie Larson and Gemma Chan, which, you know... I didn't love the fighting in this movie.
No.
You know, I like the idea of this movie, but I did not think it was executed well.
I think that's how I felt, too, because I was excited about a female superhero. I'm into all that. Like, that's the one I would be, since it was, like, one of the only ones I've ever seen, it was, like, I was most excited to see that. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. interesting. But, yeah, I feel like it was really complicated and convoluted and a bit, like, too many, like, truly, if you're just trying to pay attention to it for the sake of talking about it like we do, I was like, so much is happening, I don't mm-hmm. know what's going on. But then it actually was our quickest summary, like, in a way. It was like, you can just kind of pop right through it. But in the moment, it feels like so much is happening in each minute.
It just feels like it really lacks, like, personality. It just is sort of a movie that happens. And
yeah, I agree with you.
There's, like, no charm to her or... So that makes the stakes feel really low because I'm like, okay...
I agree because I feel like the 90s part of it could have been a really fun thing. Like, I think that, like, that's totally appealing to me and probably many people. Mm-hmm. But, like, it didn't feel like they really had fun with the 90s. Like, it could have been, like, more of a thing. Like, just have more fun mm-hmm. with that. What's the point of them being in the 90s if you kind of just show, like, two things from it and don't really, like, explore what that means that it's the 90s?
Yeah, and none of it's, like, that connected to the story. Like, I feel like the music being all 90s is, like, fun because I like 90s music. But then I mm-hmm. feel like in a Guardians of the Galaxy where it's happening because of the tape recorder adds something to it where it's, like, in the story as well. And this just kind of feels yeah. like they're like, well, let's just throw some 90s music in there. And it's like, I guess yeah. that's fun.
Like, not to harp on... I'm just good in this world. It wasn't necessary. Like, I love that song, but I was like, I don't feel the need for that in yeah. this moment because there was nothing really about her being a woman and struggling
totally.
Or anything that I was
yeah.
like, why are we bringing this up? She's been pretty strong the whole time, just a little, you know, dizzy because she didn't know where she came from or nothing like that. But, like, she wasn't overcoming. I don't know. It didn't feel like
no,
she was overcoming anything.
Now that we're saying that, it's like, the flashbacks, I guess, were maybe supposed to lay that groundwork. Like, oh, this guy yelled at her because she was, like, bad at driving when she was little. And she was also 5.
But
and
I didn't think that had anything to do with yeah. the girl and just that she was, like, bad at life.
Right, because then she's like failing on the ropes and they were like,
yeah,
you'll never be good at this. Like, it wasn't like you're a girl. That wasn't really
there's that home. One pilot who was like, that's why they call it a cockpit. But it's like, that was one guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. By the way, I did a pilot with the little girl, McKenna Grace.
Oh my God. Oh.
Years ago.
We've spoken about her before because she seems like the hardest working child
she's
in Hollywood.
Everything.
She's in everything.
So much stuff.
Wait, is she?
Oh my,
yeah,
oh my God.
Look her
in,
up.
Especially
it'll blow
horror
your
movies
mind.
And stuff. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, she
so
was
much.
In The Haunting of Hill House, which we talked about.
She's so cute and she's a great actor. And I worked with her like probably way more than that. Oh my God. It was probably 7, 8 years ago. 9 years ago, she was really little. She was probably like 4 or 5.
Yeah, she's
honestly.
Been doing
she was
it for
so small.
A long time.
Whoa, how old is she? She looks young.
She's like
she was 13. Born in 2006.
I think she's 13. That would make
and
sense.
She's got
and I worked with her when she was 5.
Credits?
Yeah, right? She's working. She's working.
She's in huge, huge stuff. Always.
I hope
crazy.
She's happy.
I know.
Oh my God, I think she is. She has little music videos she makes. She's a singer. She's very adorable.
Okay.
She's adorable. Fantastic.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, and
she's also very pretty.
She's so cute.
Stunning.
Oh yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just like a classic beauty. What a dream.
I know.
I hope someone's saying that about me right now somewhere.
They are. They
no,
are.
My classic beauty.
They are saying she is stunning. Well, you know what? You are. And
Lauren,
someone is saying
thank
that.
Thank you. Lauren, you're stunning.
You don't have to say it just because I said it. It's fine.
No, I'll say it. I believe it.
I believe it too. Oh my God. Okay. Well, the reception of this film, Captain Marvel grossed over $1 billion worldwide. Well, good for that.
It's a lot
and
of money.
Had the highest opening numbers of any female-led film. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
It holds
the
79% critic rating on Rotten Tomatoes, with most reviewers praising the performances of Larson and the rest of the cast.
Yeah, and ahead of its release, the film's Want to See score, an audience anticipation poll on Rotten Tomatoes, had fallen to 28%. Oh, that's mean. The low number was due to review bombing by trolls who had attacked the movie on the site with negative comments about the movie and about Larson's feminist messaging. Fuck you.
I remember
however, a poll by Cinema. This nothing should work like this. This is crazy.
Rotten Tomatoes like changed their rules because of this movie. Because because people were rating it like zero before it even came out. So now you can't rate a movie until after it's out because of this movie.
I mean,
so crazy.
And what's then a the poll, point of doing that? Like,
people are because people are
life.
Mean, sad
it's gross.
People.
It's gross. I don't like it.
And I don't like it. However, a poll by CinemaScore after the film's release shows that the film holds an A rating among audiences. So people actually do like it.
I gotta say, I think I would really like it if they didn't try to shoehorn an empowering message to me that was like not shoehorned even hard enough.
Yeah, that montage at the end of her like standing up over and over again, I didn't feel like I was waiting for her to stand up. Like
yeah, she'd
you
been
know,
standing.
She'd been right. She'd been doing awesome the sort of the whole time.
Right.
Yeah, she like starts off badass and then they try to tell us that she's not as badass as we think she is. And I was like, no, she's pretty cool.
I know. And then she gets her new outfit at the end and the little girl punches in like the color codes. So I'm like, how did she know how to do that?
I know.
On her
I was
arm,
wondering that too. Like she seems to know her way around this little wrist thing.
Why don't we make it red? And the girl goes, okay.
I know. It's like she's like playing like on a computer game. I was like, what? How does she know how to do this? But that was cute in her costume.
Which that little girl,
better.
By the way, will come back in WandaVision, which aren't you guys watching WandaVision?
She was a good actor.
There we go.
We are going to watch some of it later.
I had seen this movie when it came out, and then this was my second time seeing it when I watched it for this, and I remember thinking this at the time, and then I rewatched it, and I thought it again, and I don't know if I'm supposed to, or if it's in the comics, and I'm already teasing this way too much, it's not a big deal, are her and her best friend, are they lovers? Are we meant to think that at all? Because their chemistry was incredible. And it really felt romantic to me. And I could be putting that on the movie. I
would
does anybody
that.
Agree?
I would like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
It'd
into that.
It'd be way, way interesting, I would say. I think I wasn't thinking it during it, but okay. I like that idea.
I like it too.
Cool.
Right. Well, let's hope that happens. I want to see them.
We
make
all
out.
Like it. If toys can do it, they can.
I mean, I can't watch toys kiss. All right, we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Mara and Captain Marvel. We're back. Some trivia for you on this movie. Stan Lee passed away during the editing of the film. Marvel Studios put together the special opening logo to honor him. And I don't remember his cameo. In his cameo, Lee is
on
reading
the
script.
Or on the train or whatever. She like looks at him and they do a little like knowing look and that's
Yes. He is seen reading the script for Kevin Smith's 1995 film Mallrats and reciting the line, "Trust me, true believer." As revealed on Smith's YouTube page, Stan's health was in decline and he could not muster his trademark enthusiasm for his line read. Oh. So the producers looped in Lee's unused audio from that film.
I'm sorry. If someone is not able to read a line, they shouldn't be on set.
He, well, yeah, like you're saying, he's not healthy enough to function.
It's unsafe. Dragged him to a bus. I'm sure that's not the last thing he wanted to do.
Nicole, was it Paul Scheer who told us the story about how They woke
him up.
Stan Lee up to speak.
Oh, my God.
Paul was,
God.
Like, just a fan, and he was, like, at some sort of convention or a show or something, and Stan Lee was sleeping in a room, and then he's like, well, wake him up. We'll have him say hi.
Oh, my
like,
God.
No,
let
I'd
him
really
rest.
Prefer you don't do that.
Oh,
also,
wow.
Just to meet, like, a random person. It's like, they don't know each other.
He doesn't care. Let him sleep.
I know.
Okay, so Samuel L. Jackson, he improvised peeking at the Skrull's junk beneath the sheet.
I think that's a good improvised moment. Brie Larson is allergic to cats, so her scenes involving Goose were filmed with a puppet or VFX.
Oh.
Wow. I feel like they'd be like, can you take a Claritin? Like,
allergic to animals and I have animals.
The cat did look fake pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, I was going to say, the CGI was overwhelming on that.
Yeah. It was fake cat. In the comics, Captain Marvel's cat is named Chewie after Chewbacca from Star Wars. Mm. In this film, it was named Goose after Goose Bradshaw from Top Gun.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen Top Gun Maverick twice in the past week.
Okay. Everyone loved it.
So good. I absolutely loved it. Sammy saw it twice as well.
Wow.
So all of the fighter pilot stuff and I loved it, but I also had this point where I was like, they're not actually flying. I've seen what it looks like when actors actually fly in planes and
it made it much less enjoyable. I was like, Top Gun.
The comparison
Gun
was
it for
stark.
Real.
Wait, so the actors, because we did talk about this, I think, that, or maybe it was somewhere else, but that they had to learn how to fly, but they literally flew planes?
I think there were...
The actors?
They did learn how to fly. I don't think they are while they are filming. I think...
Except for Tom.
Okay, maybe Tom.
I think Tom is.
But
Tom is actually flying.
I believe
That's
he is.
That's crazy.
But there's no...
Well, he's like notorious for that. He
Tom does it for real.
He does love stunts.
Yeah. There's no green screen.
I'm amazed by that.
It just feels different. You know, you can feel it.
Well, for sure. It is on my list to watch both Top Guns. I haven't seen the old one either. Nicole, have you seen the old one?
Haven't. I was going to go see the new one, but I was like, I should go see the old one first.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like it'd be more fun to watch the new one if you know the old stuff.
May I recommend seeing it in 4D?
4D?
What's that? Where they like acted out as a play?
No, there's a theater downtown. I mean, I guess there's 4D theaters everywhere, but your whole seat shakes like you're in like a roller coaster and
it's
moves.
Like that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids ride where
that's immediately what I thought of.
Yep, where they like spray water,
at you. There's part where like smoke goes off in the theater and lights flash.
Oh.
It's so funny. I laughed so
hard. Sammy,
I
did that too.
Oh my
I
God.
Did that too
oh my God, that's really fun.
Incredible.
It was stressful, kind of, but fun.
I mean, it does sound pretty stressful, but fun in a fun way.
It's an immersive experience.
Our last piece of trivia is, when the Captain Marvel trailer dropped, some fans expressed their disapproval that Larson doesn't smile in the trailer. In response, Larson posted a Twitter user's reimagined MCU posters that had the iconic Marvel superhero sporting an over-the-top smile. This is creepy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Oh my God. It's so weird. Ew.
People were also very mad at the trailer. They showed the moment where she punches the old lady on the bus in the trailer, but just out of context. So people were like, wow, she's so mean. She punched an old lady. Carol Danvers is a villain.
Oh my God. That's so dumb. That's so annoying. Yeah. And also just telling a woman to smile is like truly such a cliche. It's like, shut up.
I know.
Yeah.
At least be original.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's time for our very important segment. Is Chris in this? This is a moment where we ask if a Chris was in this film, like Hemsworth, etc. Well, we had Chris Evans in the
mid-credits
scene.
Little tag, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the only Chris.
this is the point where we ask Sammy and Emily if you can think of a Chris, Christine, Kristen, et cetera, that should have been in this film. Any sort of person whose name
Christy,
could be.
Maybe.
I think Christoph Waltz would have made a great addition to the, the scrolls.
Ooh, that's nice.
Doing his, again, normal accent, just mixing up some accents in this scroll people. Okay.
That would have been helpful just to balance out the Australian. Mm-hmm. Like, it's anything.
Throw Christoph in there.
Yeah. Our second segment is... Is a kiss in this? Was there a kiss in this film?
We got close. We got close with Talos and his reuniting with his wife.
Did they not kiss?
I don't think so. They just pushed their faces close. They like did the forehead touch.
Got close. That's worse. That's more intimate.
I know. It's so serious. And then when he's whispered in her ear, like, baby, it's good. Baby, don't worry.
Baby, it's good.
She's chill. She's chill. I hated that.
I don't think I wanted to see any romance in it. Maybe
no,
I wasn't
even thinking about it.
Captain Marvel fuck that motorcycle man and then steal his shit.
Yeah, I think maybe with the female superhero, like, I guess it was good that we didn't see her get like really horny while she's figuring everything out. It's kind of like there's no room, there's no time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, there's always time, but you know.
There's always time. These movies are 2 hours long. You can take 5 minutes and show me some smooches.
Yeah. I mean, like she and Jude Law could have made out. It wouldn't have made any sense.
Or her and Maria.
Yeah, right. Which we were, now we say we were all waiting for.
Yes.
I rewrite history. So this is our segment, Five Stark Industries, where we read 5-star reviews of our own podcast. Oh my God, this one says 5 stars. Ooh boy, this podcast does the incredible job of making me think I like movies that I never liked and that I hate movies I thought I loved. 5 stars.
Wow, interesting.
So this person's trying to grow.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I feel like that's true for us. Like I'm kind of surprised we didn't end up liking this one more because we often, as we talk about it, go like, well, I guess it was pretty good.
After talking about it, this is one of the only movies where I was like, I don't ever want to see it again.
Yeah.
But I am excited to see Captain Marvel in Endgame because I'm really excited to see Endgame because I got to see how all these dusty people come back to life. But I got to say, Sashir Zameda, my very good friend, kind of ruined the movie for me. She told me something. She told me a big old spoiler.
Oh, no.
And then after she said it, I was like, wait, that didn't happen in Infinity War. She went, oh, no.
Oopsie.
So.
I will say that little post-credit scene, I also did not really enjoy this movie, but then I saw the post-credit scene and it did make me think, well, I want to know what they're all talking about. Like, it made me feel like I was literally missing out on something.
Yeah,
so
that's how they get you.
I'm excited for Endgame.
These little post-credit scenes leave you wanting more.
I know.
I'm a sucker for them as well.
It worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a good little cheesecake. You're like, can I have another nibble? So... In addition to Apple reviews of newcomers, we're also going to be reading reviews of Letterboxd. And if you don't know what that is, how dare you? So here's a Letterboxd review by Fran. Haven't felt this empowered since I watched the breakaway scene from The Princess Diaries 2 Royal Engagement 2004.
Wow. And then we got 3 stars from Alor. Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury and his cat Goose kind of carried the whole thing, not going to lie.
It's pretty funny.
All right. Well, what would you two say is a 1-sentence review and star rating you would give this film?
I would say I liked it slightly more upon a second viewing, but won't be watching it a third time. I'll give it 3 stars.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair.
Good movie to have watched, not so fun to watch. 2 stars.
Ooh, like okay. That. Lauren?
I'm going to say, I wish Goose would barf up the whole movie. generally, too confusing, too long, not horny, I guess. At that point, it's like, if we're going to go this long and I'm going to be so confused, I do wish there was a kiss. I will say 2 stars. I feel like that might be my lowest review that I've given.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to say 3 stars because I really liked Brie Larson in The Room. But in
well,
this movie...
Well, for sure. We can't even come bring in her other works. You're just saying you liked her in something else. Yeah, of course.
I just feel so bad giving it a low rating because I really like Brie Larson.
Well, me too. This is to me, this has nothing to do with that.
Okay, then I guess two and three-fourths stars. A little confusing. Not as empowering as I thought it was going to be. I did like her flying around and stuff. I like Samuel L. Jackson. And then I like the old lady fight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Great. So you guys out there should write us a review on Apple Podcasts. We read one on each episode. And we also ask that you rate the podcast on Spotify because it helps people find us. And I guess it's just
yes.
good.
It's nice. Sammy, Emily, do you guys have anything that you would like to promote?
Just our podcast, Too Scary Didn't Watch, available wherever you get your podcasts. We recap horror movies. It's fun.
It's fun.
More fun than this movie was.
Good. Well, that's great. Well, we will be back next week with Avengers Endgame.
And I'm so excited to see how everybody's dusty and then not dusty, maybe.
True. I am curious about what happened with all the half people who are gone.
Right?
Yeah. All right.
Very, very curious.
I need answers.
Because I know Tom Holland, he's got to come back.
Right. How's that going to work?
I don't know.
All right.
Well, we'll see. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Was a HeadGum original.